the Russian Muslim Alliance.
Well, it's a joy to be here and to share the Word of God with you folks, and there's nothing I love doing more than speaking about the Lord's return. My father was a great second coming preacher, a great expositor of the Word of God, and I was saved at the age of 15 under his preaching. The text he preached on that night was, "Summer has ended, harvest is past, and ye are not saved." Well, God spoke to my heart that night, and God wonderfully saved my soul. And I thank God that he's given me the same vision and the same message that my dad preaches. He's 92 years of age now. And every time I go to see him, he says, "I'm just waiting for the Lord to say, come up hither." He said, "I don't know why the Lord's left me here so long." Well, God has a purpose in it, and I've no doubt that God's time is not yet, and he just keeps telling me, well, he's 92 and a half, he's not 92. And it's a great joy to fellowship with him as we're able to. Friends, I would like just to say a few things this morning about the Herald of Hope before I commence my message, and the reason is because the Herald of Hope has been going for almost 50 years. Next year we commence our Jubilee year, and we are going to do something a little special next year. We haven't worked out what it is yet, but there's going to be something special. And the committee no doubt will get round to that before December of this year. We have a few ideas, but what we have been doing is trying to major on information that the Lord's people need to know in order to rightly discern the signs of the times. There's a lot of scatterbrain and strange views around about prophetic truth today. And I would like to caution every believer in the Lord Jesus Christ that don't believe everything that's said about the second coming and about last days and about end times. There are some strange statements being made. You need to keep close to the Bible. If you keep to God's Word, you won't go wrong. I was chairing some meetings on the Queen's Birthday weekend down at Belleville Street Baptist Church in Sydney, and the guest speaker there was Graham Harris from the Friends of Israel Gospel Ministry. And before the first session, I said to him, "Look, I've got a little tract here we've just produced in the Herald of Hope. It's called God's Prophetic Plan." And in just two sides of a sheet of paper, we've outlined the whole of God's prophetic plan. And I said, "Do you mind if I put it on your book table?" And he says, "Oh," he said, "I hope it agrees with what I wrote." I said, "Well, I go by the Bible." At the last session, I had to get up, of course, and say, "Dear friends, after hearing what Graham has said over this weekend, I have absolutely no doubt that he got his from the Bible too." But friends, that little leaflet is up there if you'd like to get one off the table. My wife is sitting over there, Joan, she's sitting over there at the table. The free copies are over there for you too. And if you want more copies of these, we're sending these out free to every subscriber in the Herald of Hope in the next issue. That's the August issue. In fact, we've printed 10,000 to start. And already, I think, before we've even sent them out, we've got rid of about 2,000 or 2,500, and we haven't even started to advertise them. People are asking for them. In fact, we're finding that there's a growing interest in the Herald of Hope and the message of the Lord's return. One little group at Monto up here in Queensland, don't ask me where Monto is, it's somewhere in Queensland, but they have asked for 1,200 copies of the Herald of Hope of the next issue so they can distribute it to every body in their little local community. That's a great little mission, because you see, we always have a gospel testimony in it too. So when people read about the second coming, they also read about how they need to be saved, how they need to get right with God, how they need to be born again. And so it's there in testimony form. And of course it comes through in the Bible exposition as well. We also are inviting our subscribers to tell us of lists of names of people that they think might be interested in receiving the Herald of Hope. And one brother sent in a mailing list of Christians that he sends a newsletter to of over 500 names. So I had to sit down and type in, after I took away the Herald of Hope subscribers, I had to type in 482 names, and they'll be going out as complimentary copies with the Herald of Hope in the August issue. So friends, the Lord is blessing, and we praise God for that. People are responding and ringing us up and writing to us, and obviously the Lord is using it in a way that's really wonderful, and it's blessing the hearts of the Lord's people. Well, friends, that's the Herald of Hope. It's over there. If you don't get it, if you're not a subscriber, may I suggest that you pray about it, and don't pray too long, because the Lord will say yes. Go and pay for it. Okay, now, I wanted to say today that I'm not here to tell you about information. The Herald of Hope pays for a large number of subscriptions of international digests, intelligence digests, Islamic Affairs Analyst, Jerusalem Post, Guardian Weekly, New Europe, European, and other papers. And the purpose of this is so that we are kept up to date what is happening around the world. You see, if you read the Australian newspapers, what you'll get is football, and depending on where you are in Australia, it'll be AFL or it'll be, you know, the other ones. And these are the things that interest people. But dear friends, apart from scandal and some political issues, we don't hear much about world news. And I'd like to say this, that Australia needs to be enlightened about what is happening around the world, because when you look at the world situation, as it has been over the last 12 months particularly, we are seeing events take place that indicate very, very strongly that we are drawing close to the end of the age. What's happening amongst the nations is very, very dramatic, and it's speeding up. It's accelerating. Things are not slowing down. Things are getting faster and faster. Changes take place with greater rapidity. And friends, we need to be aware of what's happening, the trends in international affairs. And friends, today I want to speak to you about the Russian and Muslim alliance from the Word of God and from the newspapers. And this, of course, will be bringing together what is happening on the world scene and what the Bible says will happen. Because it's very important for us to see that what is happening in the world is interpreted in the light of the Word of God. The first thing I want to do is to read with you, if you'll open your Bibles, at Ezekiel chapter 38. We'll read the whole chapter and just the first three verses of chapter 39. And that is the scriptural basis for the message that we have this morning. Ezekiel chapter 38. And reading down to chapter 39 and verse 3. And the word of the Lord came unto me, saying, Son of man, set thy face against Gog, the land of Magog, the chief prince of Meshech and Tubal, and prophesy against him. And say, Thus saith the Lord God, Behold, I am against thee, O Gog, the chief prince of Meshech and Tubal, and I will turn thee back, and put hooks in thy jaws, and I will bring thee forth, and all thine army, horses and horsemen, all of them clothed with all sorts of armour, even a great company with bucklers and shields, all of them handling swords. Persia, Ethiopia, and Libya with them, all of them with shield and helmet. Gomer and all his bands, the house of Tagama of the north quarters, and all his bands, and many people with thee. Be thou prepared, and prepare for thyself, thou and all thy company that are assembled unto thee, and be thou a guard unto them. After many days thou shalt be visited. In the latter years thou shalt come into the land that is brought back from the sword and is gathered out of many people against the mountains of Israel, which have been always waste, but it is brought forth out of the nations, and they shall dwell safely, all of them. Thou shalt ascend and come like a storm. Thou shalt be like a cloud to cover the land, thou and all thy bands and many people with thee. Thus saith the Lord God, It shall also come to pass that at the same time shall things come into thy mind, and thou shalt think an evil thought. And thou shalt say, I will go up to the land of unwalled villages. I will go to them that are at rest, that dwell safely, all of them, that dwelling without walls and having neither bars nor gates, to take a spoil and to take a prey, to turn thine hand upon the desolate places that are now inhabited, and upon the people that are gathered out of the nations, which have gotten cattle and goods and dwell in the midst of the land. Sheba and Dedan and the merchants of Tarshish with all the young lions thereof shall say unto thee, Art thou come to take a spoil? Hast thou gathered thy company to take a prey? To carry away silver and gold, to take away cattle and goods, to take a great spoil? Therefore, son of man, prophesy and say unto Gog, Thus saith the Lord God, In that day when my people of Israel dwell safely, shalt thou not know it? And thou shalt come from thy place out of the north parts, thou and many people with thee, all of them riding upon horses, a great company and a mighty army. And thou shalt come up against my people of Israel as a cloud to cover the land. It shall be in the latter days. And I will bring thee against my land, that the heathen, the Gentile nations, may know me, when I shall be sanctified in thee, O Gog, before their eyes. Thus saith the Lord God, Art thou he of whom I have spoken in old time by my servants the prophets of Israel, which prophesied in those days many years that I would bring thee against them? And it shall come to pass at the same time when Gog shall come against the land of Israel, saith the Lord God, that my fury shall come up in my face. And in my jealousy and in the fire of my wrath have I spoken. Surely in that day there shall be a great shaking in the land of Israel, so that the fishes of the sea and the fowls of the heaven and the beasts of the field and all creeping things that creep upon the earth and all the men that are upon the face of the earth shall shake at my presence. And the mountains shall be thrown down and the steep places shall fall and every wall shall fall to the ground. And I will call for a sword against him throughout all my mountains, saith the Lord God. Every man's sword shall be against his brother. And I will plead against him with pestilence and with blood, and I will rain upon him and upon his bands and upon his many people that are with him an overflowing rain and great hailstones, fire and brimstone. Thus will I magnify myself and sanctify myself, and I will be known in the eyes of many nations, and they shall know that I am the Lord. Therefore, thou son of man, prophesy against Gog, and say, Thus saith the Lord God, Behold, I am against thee, O Gog, the chief prince of Meshech and Tubal, and I will turn thee back and leave but the sixth part of thee, and will cause thee to come up from the north parts, and will bring thee upon the mountains of Israel. And I will smite thy bow out of thy left hand, and will cause thine arrows to fall out of thy right hand. God will bless that reading from his precious word. I have to find a switch. Right, I've got it. Right. That's Ezekiel 38 and part of 39. Okay, let's have a word of prayer. Loving Father, we just commit ourselves to you now. We are conscious, our Father, that we have no wisdom and no ability and no power of ourselves, Lord. Our Father, we put ourselves in thy hands this morning, both speaker and hearer, that, Lord, we might have understanding hearts and that we might understand the truth of your word. Take away all misconceptions, we pray, and all ways that are not of thyself. And Father, we pray that for those in our midst today who have never trusted Jesus Christ as their Lord and Saviour, that they might even this morning see that the time is near for the Lord Jesus to come, and that they will be found seeking him while there is time. Father, we pray for those who are here this morning who are saved, that you will speak to their hearts. Lord, we need to have our hearts stirred. We confess that we become cold and sleepy and occupied with the material things of this life so often. Father, we pray that our thoughts might be of thyself, that our eyes will be upon thee, that our affections will be upon things above, and Father, that we will be found watching and waiting for our blessed Saviour to come from heaven. We ask it in his precious name. Amen. Friends, this morning I want to just first of all remind you that the information I'm giving you is not just to feed your minds or to fascinate your interest in world events. It is to bring before you the urgency of turning to the Lord. And the Bible makes it very clear that the end times are going to be very simply three major events. Firstly, there is the rapture of the church. Instantly, at the end of this church age, we are going to see the disappearance of the Lord's people from this scene. The Christians are going to suddenly depart from this scene. And then, after the church is gone, there is going to be the Great Tribulation. And the Bible tells us that that is going to be a period of 7 years, the 70th week of Daniel's prophecy. And it's going to be unprecedented trouble in this world. The Bible then says in Matthew 24 that immediately after the tribulation of those days shall the sun be darkened, the moon shall not give a light, the stars shall fall from heaven, and then shall appear the sign of the Son of Man in heaven. And the Lord Jesus will come to reign over this earth as King of Kings with his saints. He's going to come for his saints at the rapture. We're going to meet him in the air. He's not coming to the earth at that time. But when he comes at the end of the tribulation, he's going to come and his feet are going to stand on that day upon the Mount of Olives, which is on the east of Jerusalem, Zechariah chapter 14. And beloved, he's going to come with his saints. We're going to be with him at his glorious appearing. He's going to come to be glorified in his saints and to be admired in all them that believe. You mightn't look very pretty right now, dear brother and sister in Christ, and the older you get, you know, the more decrepit you begin to look, as I look in the mirror day by day. But listen, we're going to have a new body. We're going to be beautiful. We're going to be like the Lord Jesus. We're going to see him and be like him, for we shall see him as he is. And when he comes and all the saints with him, Jesus is going to be admired in all them that believe. The angels are going to look upon the saints in their glory, every one of them looking like the Lord Jesus. And we're going to be admired. He's going to be admired in all them that believe. What a wonderful privilege is ours, and what a prospect for the Christian to look forward to. Well, friends, I want to speak today about one of the great signs that indicates that we are coming toward the end of the age. It's the sign of Russia and the Muslim alliance. And the Word of God here tells us something about that. And I don't want to depart from the Word of God. I want to keep close to the Scriptures. And beloved, here we are told in this passage we read today that the Bible says that there is going to be an invasion of the land of Israel in the last days. We're told very specifically there that there is a leader, a man called Gog, who is going to lead an army. He comes from the land of Magog, and he's the chief prince of Meshach and Tubal. Now there's an alternative rendering of this particular verse, and the word chief in the Hebrew language is simply the Hebrew word rosh. And the alternative rendering to this verse is that Gog is from the land of Magog. He's the prince of Rosh, Meshach and Tubal. And it seems to me that that is possibly the better translation of that verse. And so we have here a particular man called Gog. We have the land from which he comes, the land of Magog. He's the chief prince of Meshach and Tubal. Now, friends, that identifies this world leader who is going to come, who's going to mobilize an army, who's going to invade the land of Israel in the last days. Now, we need to just begin to think a little bit about these names that are given here, because the Scripture makes it very clear as to who they are. And if we were to go back, if we had time to go back to the book of Genesis, and in chapter 10 we would see the names of these people, Meshach, Tubal, Togarmah further down, Gomer, and these various people who are named here as participants in the final battle against Israel. Well, just very briefly, and we can't spend a great deal of time upon it, but I have researched this from a number of excellent sources and in-depth sources, and friends, just to bring it very simply to you, the name of these people we have here as Rosh, of course, is the one name that is given, the chief prince of Rosh, and Meshach and Tubal were sons of the sons of Noah. And you go back to Genesis 10 and you find that the descendants, after the flood and when the ark settled on Mount Ararat up here in Turkey, that the nations, the sons of Noah, spread out around the world. And these are the names of some of the sons and grandsons and great-grandchildren of Noah just immediately after the flood. And friends, the nations spread. We have Meshach and Tubal. Meshach, known as Moscow now. Tubal, spreading here in the Caucasus area. Magog was on the northern side of the Black Sea. And Gomer also there, but also Gomer invaded the land of Central Asia at one stage, and many of the Gomerites have settled in Turkey. Togarmah was in western Armenia, which of course is eastern Turkey today. And so we have these various names of people spread around the Black Sea on the north and in between the Caspian Sea and the Black Sea and into Turkey. So friends, we have very clear definition of who these nations are. They are very definitely people immediately to Israel's north. As a matter of fact, we're told in the scriptures that the armies are to come from the north. Togarmah, for instance, is referred to as Togarmah of the North Quarters. Well, the Bible makes no mistake about geography. God knows the longitudes and latitudes. And if you were to draw a line through Jerusalem, you would be on longitude 35, 13 degrees east. And it goes through Jerusalem. It does not go through Lebanon. It does not go through Syria. And I was reading a book just recently which tried to identify the Meshech and Tubal and these nations as being Syria to Israel's north. Longitude 35-13 east does not go through Syria. It goes out to sea before you get to the border of Lebanon. It goes right through the heart of Turkey. It goes right through the heart of Ukraine. And it goes right through Russia and doesn't even come into Finland. It goes in onto the Arctic Circle. Every country that that longitude goes through is one of the participants in this battle against Israel in the last days. And so, friends, we have very clear definition that these people are going to be the ones that will come upon Israel in these last times. Now, not only do we have the nations that are connected with Russia in the north, but we also have other nations that are going to join with Russia in the invasion of Israel in the last days. We're told there in verse 5, Persia, Ethiopia and Libya with them, all of them with shield and helmet, Gomer and all his bands, the house of Togarmah of the north quarters and all his bands. Now friends, we have these nations, Libya, Persia or Iran, we have Ethiopia. Now in biblical times, Ethiopia was everything south of Egypt. You don't find a distinction between Sudan and Ethiopia in biblical times. Everything from the southern border of Egypt to the south was considered to be Ethiopia. When the Ethiopian eunuch went back and Philip baptized him at Gaza, he went back to Ethiopia, south of Egypt. The Ethiopians were always in conflict with the Egyptians in ancient times. They had wars together. Tradition says that Moses led the Egyptian armies against the Ethiopians in his day. That's 1500, 1400, 1500 years BC. So the Ethiopians were everything south of the southern border of Egypt. And so, friends, we have these nations identified that will come with Russia. The nations north of the Black Sea, we have Iran, Persia, we have Libya, we have Ethiopia, Sudan, which will join forces in a massive army to come to annihilate the nation of Israel. Friends, I don't have to remind you this morning that these nations hate the Jews. They hate Israel with a bitter hatred. In the parliament in Iran, we find the politicians are saying that they must finish the work that Hitler failed to complete. They are talking about a Holocaust that will burn and gas the Jews until there are no Jews left. This is the considered and the determination of these Muslim countries to wipe out the little nation of Israel. You know, friends, that Iran just recently has been completing some military operations. They've been having practice war games. It has involved 200,000 Iranian troops. These 200,000 Iranian troops have had to move across a certain distance of land, which is equal to the distance from here to there. In other words, they are practicing mobilizing their forces to travel the distance from Iran to Israel. When Iran had a war with Iraq for 7 years and 1 million lives were lost, 1 million lives were lost in that conflict, they vowed that once they had overrun Iraq, they would just keep going until they went to the Mediterranean and wiped Israel off the map. That was their vowed intent. Friends, there is no doubt that these Muslim fundamentalist nations have as their proclaimed intention to wipe out the nation of Israel. Turkey has recently shown a great swing towards a Muslim fundamentalist government. Mr. Erbakan, who was just recently resigned as Prime Minister, the first Islamic Prime Minister in Turkey, one of the first things he said when he came to power was that he was going to work for the liberation of Jerusalem. That was his first. On one occasion, he demanded that the Israelis hand back the West Bank to the Palestinians. He has just organised an association of the D8 nations. The D8's not a caterpillar bulldozer. It's the D8. It's eight nations of Arabs, which are coming together to form a common market. As soon as he was elected to power, Mr. Erbakan immediately went off to all the Muslim nations, to Pakistan, to Bangladesh, to Malaysia, and to Indonesia. He went to Egypt, to try and bring together these Muslim nations into a confederation And just recently in Istanbul, they had their one of their meetings to form the D8 group of nations. It is a counter to the European Union. It's an economic force that's going to build up in the Middle East. Of course, we don't need to talk about Libya. Poor old Colonel Gaddafi, he just hates anybody that loves America, and he hates the Jews like poison, and he's armed to the teeth by Russia. And of course, Sudan has many, many terrorist training camps down there for Muslim fundamentalists. And the whole purpose is that these will not only destabilize moderate Muslim countries, but also work towards the destruction of Jerusalem. So we have emerging in the world today these very nations, which the Bible says are going to come together with Russia in the last days. And friends, I have no doubt that we are in the last days. You know, the Bible makes it very clear that Russia is to be identified with these, because the Bible says, "Be thou a guard unto them. Prepare, be thou prepared and prepare for thyself, thou and all thy company that are assembled unto thee, and be thou a guard unto them." In other words, Russia has to be the one that will mobilize these Muslim nations in this invasion of the land of Israel. And friends, it's interesting to notice what is happening with Russia in these days. Russia is now aligning itself with Iran. They have made an agreement with Iran that if Iran will not take fundamentalism into Russia, Russia will provide all the technology that Iran needs to fight Israel. That's very interesting. They have contracted to supply an atomic reactor, $1 billion to Iran. Not only so, but when the spent fuel of the U-308 yellow cake is finished through the reactor, they will take that back to Russia, convert it to plutonium, send it back to Iran so that Iran can make atomic weapons out of the plutonium. That is a contract underway right now. Not only so, but Russia is also contracted to provide infrastructure development for Iran. Power stations, power lines, and all sorts of infrastructure for Iran. And also, they have contracted to supply them with military hardware, and they are doing that right now. You know, friends, when Russia broke up in 1989 to 91, one of the things that concerned people was the fact that the Russian intercontinental ballistic missiles were armed with nuclear weapons. And the danger was that these weapons would fall into the hands of rogue nations and terrorist nations like Iran. And it's believed, there are reports that have come through, whether they've been certified or not, I don't know, but we've had them from quite reliable sources, that numbers of atomic warheads have been sold on the black market across to Iran from disaffected people in the Russian military who want to make a quick buck. Friends, I believe we are getting close to a very, very serious situation where these nations can mobilize themselves to come against Israel, as the Bible has predicted in the last days. Now, friends, let's just look a little bit more at this, and I'd like to talk a little bit more about Russia. You know, we have witnessed in our day, I don't think there's anybody here young enough not to remember 1989, but we have witnessed in our day the breakup of the Soviet Union. And that is an absolute miracle. I'd like just to run through the events with you of 1989. In 1989, on April the 16th, the ban on the Solidarity Movement, which was the movement that was against the communist regime, was lifted. They had an election, and the Solidarity Movement won the election. They had the first non-communist prime minister elected on August the 24th. In 1989. Now, friends, this is something that is absolutely staggering. How could this happen? I mean, when Hungary in 1956, the Hungarians decided to revolt against the Soviet Union and demand their freedom, all of these Warsaw Pact nations sent their armies in with the Russians and put down that rebellion in a bloody fashion. Friends, this happened without even a murmur of dissent from Russia or the other Warsaw Pact nations. Hungary opened its border with Austria, and the Communist Party in Hungary was dissolved on October the 10th, the same year. Then East Germany, on October the 18th, the communist leader resigned. November the 7th, the cabinet resigned. November the 9th, they broke down the Berlin Wall. You remember that? You saw the pictures of them smashing down the Berlin Wall. Then, in Bulgaria, on November the 10th, we had the leader resigned and replaced. Czechoslovakia, November the 24th, the entire Politburo resigned, and Alexander Dubček returned. He was in exile. Then, in Romania, December the 22nd, Nicolae Ceaușescu removed, and on Christmas Day, 1989, he was executed. All of this happened in 1 year. The entire Warsaw Pact nations, who had a powerful military machine, suddenly disintegrated. And then, friends, in 1990, East and West Germany were reunited. In 1991, the USSR, the Union of Soviet Socialist Republics, was dissolved formally by the Duma, the Russian Parliament. The Warsaw Pact was dissolved, and Comecon, which was like an economic union between the nations of the Warsaw Pact, was dissolved. All of those things from 1989 up to 1991. And friends, that is a remarkable thing that has happened in your time and mine. We have seen something happen. Now, why did it happen? Why did Russia give way? Why did the Soviet Union dissolve? Friends, I believe God has an answer for us. Because the Word of God says that He would say to the North, "Give up, let my people go." And you know, friends, in Israel today, there are 800,000 people who have come back from ex-Soviet countries back to the land of Israel. 800,000. And beloved, that's why God brought the Soviet Union down. Because God has a plan and God has a purpose, and it doesn't matter what the men may do, God is going to fulfill His purpose, and Israel's going back to the land today in fulfillment of God's promises. What a wonderful God we have. Men might shake their fist in the face of God, but God is in control. He rules over the nations of men. He may let them go and give them their free will. He may be long-suffering with them for a while, but God has not lost control. He's still in control. And when they have run their course and they've had their opportunity, God will say, "Time's up." And so Russia has come to great weakness. Now, friends, after the collapse of the USSR, the nations, the old nations of the Soviet Union, came together in what was called CENTO, Central Asian. CIS, the Commonwealth of. Here it is, Commonwealth of Independent States. And so we still have the Soviet Union today, but we have it in a different form. The 12 countries of the CIS, Commonwealth of Independent States, is this the new Soviet Union linked to the Muslim nations? Friends, they still had a loose association, with each of those former Soviet republics being an independent nation. But friends, we are seeing that change. We are seeing those old Soviet republics beginning to come together again. As a matter of fact, Belarus up here, this nation, about 10 million people, where most of Russia's high-tech military technology was performed, Belarus is now joining up with Russia. They have already had a joint session of the two parliaments, and they are now talking in the very near future of having a common currency. Belarus is really part of Russia again. Moldavia, of course, is very strongly communist and wants to be part of Russia. We have Ukraine. Ukraine is almost totally dependent upon Russia for energy. And she is pro-Russia. As a matter of fact, Russia has just signed a treaty with the West, with NATO. A security treatment, a treaty which has allowed the European Union to move into Eastern Europe. And subsequent to that, Ukraine signed exactly the same treaty with NATO, so that both of them now are standing side by side, allowing Europe to move into Eastern Europe. And we'll talk about that tomorrow afternoon. That's really something to hear about, I can tell you. So we have these nations, Belarus, Ukraine, Moldavia, and we have Russia, and of course these nations down here. Armenia down here, Armenia is now talking about following Belarus in a closer relationship with Russia. What we are seeing, beloved, is the old Soviet Union beginning to reform. God opened the door for a while, and He let the Jews out. He let God's people get back to the land. So much so that in the Israeli parliament, the Knesset today, there is a Russian Jewish party. And I think it's the Minister for Industry is the leader of that party in the Israeli government. And so, friends, we have the Russian Soviet Union, the old Soviet Union, forming up again. And you know, it's because of that, that these nations of Eastern Europe, particularly the Baltic states, are desperate to get into NATO. Because they know it's only a matter of time before Russia and the old Soviet Union becomes the terrible monster that it was under the international communism of the Cold War days. And so they want to get into NATO, so they've got some defence against Russia. Well, friends, that's the situation that came about after the breakup in 1991. There's something else I just want to point out, because this will have a very great significance on what happens later. After World War II, the Western powers wanted to stop Russia from coming down into the Persian Gulf. You know, one of the big things that influences Russia and the industrialized nations of the world is the oil situation. The Persian Gulf has two-thirds of the world's oil. Two-thirds of the world's oil. And the Persian Gulf is so important to the Western powers. And so after World War II, when communism was seeking to take over the world and pushing south and west and all over the place, the Western powers armed Turkey and Iran and Pakistan and formed a continuous line of countries, a defence, right across the southern flank of Russia to stop them from getting down to the Persian Gulf where they could take control of the world's oil supplies. And friends, we've seen that Cento disintegrate. First of all, the Shah of Persia fell and the Muslims took over. The Shah of Persia was armed by the Americans. And one of the reasons why the Iranians lost the war against Iraq was because the Iranians were armed with American planes and the Americans refused to give them spare parts, so much of the Iranian Air Force was grounded because they couldn't get enough spare parts to get them in the air. Whereas the Iraqis were armed by the Russians and they had a continuous supply of spare parts. And then, friends, Pakistan, of course, has been an associate of the Americans, and that has been a problem with India over the years. Turkey now is swinging towards Muslim Islam. And we're finding, although Mr. Erbakan has just had to resign as the Prime Minister, they say that if it goes to an election in Turkey, that he will increase his majority, and the time could come when he will rule in his own right and will not need to be in a coalition government. If that happens, dear friends, the problems in Turkey are going to be tremendous. Today, Turkey is split between the military and the Muslims. The politicians have the largest party is a Muslim party. The military wants to be a Western secular society. And there have been three coups over the past, since 1965, when the army has come in and taken over to maintain law and order. And they fear that it could happen again. But friends, the scene is changing. One of the first things Mr. Erbakan did when he came to power, just after President Bill Clinton said that nobody was to do any business with Iran, the first thing he did was, 3 days after, he signed a $23 billion contract with Iran for the supply of natural gas, linking Turkey with Iran for the supply of their energy. Tell your friends, these things are happening before our eyes, and this is all coming together. What we have seen is the disintegration of the Cento defence line, which means that Russia now aligning with these Muslim countries has nothing to stop it from coming down to the Persian Gulf, except America. And so, friends, things are really heading up in these places. Let me just ask a few questions. When will Gog attack Israel? The Word of God says, after many days thou shalt be visited. In the latter years thou shalt come into the land that is brought back from the sword and is gathered out of many people against the mountains of Israel, which have been always waste. And the land of Israel has been waste ever since it was decimated in the second century, 135 AD. And it says, against the mountains of Israel, which have been always waste, but is brought forth out of the nations, and they shall dwell safely, all of them. Friends, today we have the nation of Israel dwelling in comparative safety. You know, I don't think people realize very much just how powerful the nation of Israel is. There are 5.65 million people in the land of Israel today. How many Jews and Arabs do you think there are? There's 4.65 million Jews and only 880,000 Arabs. That's not the impression you get when you listen to the media, is it? You'd think it was 50-50. No, friends. And the Israelis are pouring them back in at the rate of 70,000 per year. Israel today has an air force. It has an aircraft industry that is second to none in the world. They currently have a contract with Turkey to upgrade, at the cost of $600 million, the fighter planes of the Turkish Air Force. And friends, the Israelis have 200 nuclear warheads. They have the best infantry weapon in the world, which is manufactured in the land of Israel. Just recently they announced that they were creating 130,000 jobs for engineers and scientists that they were planning to bring back from Russia into the land of Israel. Israel is a high-tech nation. They are growing, their economy is powerful. And with that little bit of land and only a population the size of Sydney, they are shaking this world. If anybody was to attack Israel, beloved, they could use atomic warheads as they chose. They had the means of delivery, and they have the means that they want to deliver. Friends, the Bible says, when they shall dwell safely. But I also think it means that there's going to be some peace moves that will guarantee the safety of Israel. And what's happening today? The peace accord. They're saying, us big nations like America and Europe, we'll guarantee your safety. Just give the Arabs the land. We'll make sure you don't get attacked. Of course, a lot of Israelis don't believe that. Some of them stupid enough to believe it. Probably 50%. But of course you can understand they're in a terrible situation. They're facing foes around them that are armed to the teeth. Syria has got her army on the slopes of Mount Hermon right now in an attacking position to come into the land of Israel. I've told you about Iran with 200,000 troops doing war games in preparation for going to Israel. And you know what the code name of those war games is? Road to Jerusalem. That's what they call it. Of course they're preparing to run over to Jerusalem. Egypt has been mobilizing its forces and they're in an attacking position to come into Israel. And many of the commentators and intelligence papers are saying that war is imminent in the land of Israel. And Israel is preparing for it. You read the Jerusalem Post and you'll see how that the Israeli military are preparing for war. They know that it's imminent. They know the danger. And they know it's not going to be fought like the past wars. This one could be chemical warfare. This could be biological warfare. This could be limited nuclear warfare. It's a very serious situation. Some people are saying it may be 2003 when there'll be an outbreak, and some say the year 2000. Well, I don't know. It's only guessing. And I'm not going to go into the guessing game. But friends, I know this, that the Word of God says Russia and the Muslims are going to finally attack Israel in the last days. It's going to happen. And we see things beginning to get into place so they can come down onto the land of Israel. Well, friends, they're going to come while they have some comparative amount of safety. How will Israel be invaded? How will they be invaded? The Scripture says in 38, 9 and 16, thou shalt be like a cloud. This is Russia, Gog and his army will come to cover the land. And it shall be in the latter days. Friends, it's going to be like an airborne invasion, and the paratroopers are going to come down. It's going to be like clouds coming down on the land of Israel. But then there's going to be a challenge to Gog. We read that in verse 13, Sheba and Dedan and the merchants of Tarshish with all the young lions thereof shall say unto thee, art thou come to take a spoil? Hast thou gathered thy company to take a prey? In other words, somebody who's big enough with enough muscle is going to be able to say to Russia and the Muslim powers, hey, what are you doing? Why are you coming down into the land of Israel? And friends, if you go through Scripture, get your Strong's Concordance out and you'll find that Sheba and Dedan always refer to Arabia. Teman and Dedan, it's all down there in Arabia. The Queen of Sheba came on camels. She didn't catch a boat. She came on camels to see Solomon. She came across the Arabian desert. And this area down here, Sheba and Dedan, is going to join with the ships of Tarshish to challenge this invasion of Israel by Russia and the Muslims. Well, friends, who's the ships of Tarshish? If you go to the book of Ezekiel, you'll see where the city of Tyre used to be the great Hong Kong of the Middle East. It was a great trading port. And all the goods that came into Tyre and were sold and dispersed through the city of Tyre are listed, and the places from which they come. And you know, it speaks about the ships of Tarshish bringing tin from Tarshish. And England in ancient times was known as the Island of Tin. I have no doubt that when it speaks about the ships of Tarshish and the young lions thereof, it's speaking about those Anglo-Saxon nations which went across to America and populated the American continent. And friends, when you look at it today, the only power in this world that could challenge Russia or would challenge Russia in her invasion of Israel would be the United States. Do you remember back in the 1950s? Was it 1950s? When the American Marines went into Lebanon and landed on the beaches? Why? Because they had word that the Russians were going to move into the Middle East. And they got in first and stalled them. And friends, when you look at this situation down in the Persian Gulf, America has defense agreements with six of the nations in the Persian Gulf. Every one of the oil-producing countries in the Persian Gulf is in a defense pact with the United States. You start from Kuwait up the top here, you go down through Saudi Arabia, you go to the Arab Emirates, Oman, they all have military pacts with the United States. Some of them have arsenals of American military equipment there ready for the Marines to come in and they'll be equipped as soon as they land. The American fleet is patrolling the Persian Gulf. We've already seen how America intervened when Saddam Hussein came down and took Kuwait and protected one of those oil-producing countries. And it's only logical that when Russia makes its move into the Middle East with all of these Muslim powers, America is going to be the nation with Sheba and Dedan, these Arab oil-producing countries that are going to say, hey, stop. Now, why is that? Listen, friends, if Russia gets the oil of the Middle East, America is crippled. America does not have enough oil to run its own machinery. America would be in dire straits in World War II. They won because they had enough to get us through World War II. But the experts told the American authorities, listen, after World War II, you've got to look for oil elsewhere. We haven't got enough in America. And so the Americans have concentrated on the Persian Gulf. They have their oil companies down there. They're tied up with the Saudi royal family in oil arrangements. And they control 66% of the world's oil. If Russia got that, America would be gone. It'd be history. Well, friends, who's going to challenge Russia? Sheba and Dedan, those nations that have a vested interest in the oil of the Middle East. Well, friends, what's going to happen when Russia comes down to Gog's army? Well, God's going to destroy it. We read in chapter 38, 19 and 20, it's going to be by four things. God's going to destroy it with an earthquake, He's going to destroy it with disunity, He's going to destroy it with disease, and He's going to destroy it with great hailstones from heaven. Four things God's going to use to wipe out that army of the Muslims and Russia. A great earthquake. You know, I read in the Jerusalem Post just recently, they're expecting a great earthquake to shake the three major cities of Israel. Haifa, Tel Aviv, Jerusalem. They're expecting it. They're waiting for it to happen. They're afraid of the impact of that earthquake upon the economy of the nation of Israel. Friends, The Bible tells us about a lot of earthquakes that are going to happen in the Great Tribulation. And in fact, we're told that around Jerusalem, the whole of the mountains around Jerusalem are going to be flattened like a plane. That's why they're going to be able to build the great big temple, which is much bigger than the old temple, in Jerusalem. Disunity. Just recently, I was renewing my subscription, or taking out a subscription rather, for the New Europe, which is a newspaper. The best newspaper you can get on international news. And New Europe newspaper was discontinued on the newsstands. And so I had to write to the fellow in Melbourne and ask him what's happened to it. He said, we're already taking my subscription now. So I sent him my money in February. But 2 months later, I still hadn't got my first copy. And it's a weekly paper, and I'm missing all this wonderful information. So I got on him, and I was getting a bit steamed up. I faxed his headquarters in London and told them, your fellow out here is not doing this job. And I rang the fellow down, and his name's John Quick, by the way. He wasn't very quick. And you know what? That fellow has been with United Nations in Afghanistan. He understands the Arabs, the Muslims. And he was very interested in what I was saying, and whether he was just trying to placate me or not, I don't know. But he said, what is your purpose in getting this information? I said, well, I'm the editor of the Herald of Hope magazine, and we relate Bible prophecy to what's happening in the world, and this is the best source of information I have on international affairs. Oh, he said, I'd be very interested to see your magazine. So I sent him a few copies. The next Saturday I was in Sydney, and he was ringing my home. He said, I've never read anything like it. He said, this has just opened my eyes. This puts everything together. And I started sending me the New Europe, and instead of sending me one, they sent me two copies. They had my address down twice, and they're still sending me two copies. I wrote to them, I said, listen, I don't want to be charged for an extra copy. Please only send me one copy. And in my letter, I wrote quite a little note about what's happening in the world, and I put on the bottom, the answer is John 3:16. He went to try and buy a Bible to see what John 3:16 was. I've arranged for him to meet with a Christian man down in Melbourne to lead him to Christ. And you know what? In my letter I said to him about Russia joining with the Muslims. He said, I find that hard to understand. He said, because the Muslims wouldn't join together. He said, they are so fragmented. In Afghanistan you've got the Taliban and you've got the Kabul government, old communist government. You've got all of these, all the ones that are fighting each other all the time in Turkey. The Kurdistans and the Iraqis, the Iranians, they hate each other. He said, I don't believe you can organize those people into one army. I said, you know, that's interesting, because the Bible says that's just how they're going to destroy themselves. He said, oh. I said, yes. I said, the Bible says every man's sword shall be against his brother. Oh, my friend, the Bible makes no mistakes. They're going to organize them, do you know why? Because they all have a common interest in hating Israel. But beloved, when they get together, they won't trust each other. Can you imagine the Iraqis allowing the Iranian army to walk through their territory to go to Israel? Hey, can you imagine the Syrians allowing the Turks to come down there through their country to get to Israel? You know, when Nasser tried to form the United Arab Republic, he wanted to be the kingpin. But he soon found that none of the Arabs wanted to follow him. They all wanted to be kingpin. Friends, there's got to be such disunity. The Bible says that they're going to turn on each other, and every man's sword shall be against his brother, and I will plead with him with pestilence and blood. God's going to send pestilence, disease. You know, they've got biological warfare today. They have weapons that spread germs. And I wouldn't be surprised if this is not a reference to biological warfare. Someone's going to let off some germ warfare, pestilence. It doesn't have to be one of the armies. God can do it himself. He did it to the Assyrians. 185,000 of the Assyrians died outside of Jerusalem in one night because God struck them dead. But friends, it's going to happen when Russia comes down and the Muslims come into the land of Israel. And then God is going to send an overflowing hailstone, rain, upon them. Great hailstones, fire and brimstone. And their armies are going to be decimated on the mountains of Israel. And I tell you, friends, it's not going to be a very pleasant scene. Israel is going to become a giant graveyard. It's going to become Gog's grave. God says, I will leave, but the sixth part of thee, 5/6 of that massive army, is going to be dead corpses on the land and mountains of Israel. Israel will set on fire and burn the weapons with fire 7 years. And listen, I've got no problem about steel weapons. I don't have to have plastic weapons and plastic guns. What do you do with steel? You burn it in the furnace. What do the Israelis do with all the scrap metal? They take it and they turn it into other things. Of course you can burn steel. I don't know why people get hung up on that. 7 months they'll be burying the dead, the house of Israel. And they shall cleanse the land. They're going to have a valley across in Jordan, and they're going to call it the Valley of Haman Gog, and they're going to make a mass grave. And it's going to take them 7 months to pick up all the corpses and take them over there and bury them with bulldozers in the land of Jordan. Friends, that's what God's going to do. But what's going to happen as a result? Let's look at chapter 39, and this is what I like to see. In verse 21 and 22 we read, "And I will set my glory among the heathen, and all the heathen shall see my judgment that I have executed." You know, the world's going to see this. They couldn't miss it. It's going to be the most stupendous thing that happened for the world's history. Such a massive invasion on such a tiny nation, and the whole of that massive army destroyed, and only 1/6 getting away. And Joel 2 tells us they'll go away to the eastern sea and to the utmost sea in the north, that is Siberia. The 1/6 of Russia's army and the Muslim army will end up in Siberia, where Russia's been putting prisoners for decades. Listen, the Gentiles are going to see what God has done, and then in verse 22, "So the house of Israel shall know that I am the Lord from," listen to this, "that day forward." Underline those words in your Bible, dear friend. The nation of Israel is going to believe in the Lord Jesus Christ from that day forward. You know, when the rapture takes place, there's going to be 144,000 Jewish converts who will preach the gospel of redeeming grace and the coming kingdom of the Messiah immediately after the rapture. But the nation as a whole will not repent until Russia and the Muslims begin to move in and they see their position as desperate and hopeless, and the nation of Israel will fall on its knees before God and repent and call upon the Lord, and they're going to acknowledge Jesus Christ as their Messiah. What a day that's going to be. And they're going to be ready to meet Him when He comes at the end of the Great Tribulation. Friends, Israel's back in the land today. They're back there at unbelief. They have no time for Jesus Christ. They've got legislation, pastor's first reading now, that they're going to put people in jail if they send gospel literature into Israel or distribute it in Israel. They're against the Lord Jesus Christ. But friends, when they see the Russian armies coming and the Muslims moving in for the final act to liquidate the nation, they're going to cry out to God, and God's going to hear their prayer. And the nation will be saved. And the world is going to see what God has done. Well, friends, it all just indicates, doesn't it, that we're getting near the end. The coming of the Lord is drawing near. I come back to my first picture. Here it is. This has got to happen in the Great Tribulation. Russia's got to come down in the Great Tribulation. It doesn't come down before the rapture. Do you know why I know it doesn't come down before the rapture? Because if the nation of Israel gets saved when Russia comes down and it's before the rapture, all of the Jews will become part of the church. And they'll be raptured. And there won't be any Jews left here to meet the Lord when He comes again. So it's got to be after the rapture. And so during the Great Tribulation, I believe in the first early part of the Great Tribulation, possibly the trumpet judgments, there is going to be this time when the Muslims will move in. Israel will repent. And then the conflict will no longer be with Russia and the Muslims. It's got to be with Antichrist. He's going to step into the vacuum. And we'll talk about that tomorrow. So come back tomorrow morning. Lord bless you.